fighting tyranny. You're listening to Knights of the Storm.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to Knights of the Storm. It is Saturday, November 4th, 2023 AD. I am Franco Mattei, otherwise known as Angry Tiger. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, there are monsters under your bed. There are monsters around the corner. There are monsters under the rocks and behind the trees. Across the globe, the military-industrial complex finds monsters to slay, as the bankers have the nations dancing to the tune of the Rothschild formula. New evils are manufactured daily for the general public to fear. New wars are created, the mass slaughter of the innocents, so the central banks can print more money and loan it to the nations and have a reason to exist. We will be discussing the new axis of evil this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the new monster. Also, the BRICS nations are taking a dump. What exactly are they dumping? And they don't need any toilet paper. Actually, they are dumping toilet paper in the form of U.S. Treasury bonds. We'll talk all about that. We are not full of it here on Knights of the Storm, so you will not need any toilet paper this morning. There is definitely a storm of excrement blowing in from the New World Order, a storm of death and destruction. We will try to blow it away with the prevailing winds of truth and integrity. So tie yourselves to a tree, ladies and gentlemen, because a real storm is a-blowing in. With us today, my stalwart companion, the esteemed Jason Barker, a gale force blowing down the walls of tyranny. Also with us today, when you look up common sense, they show a picture of her face in the dictionary. Elegance and intelligence wrapped up in one package. She has the heart of a lion and the gentleness of a lamb. Ladies and gentlemen, with us, the wonderful Karen Carpenter. Good morning, lady and gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
Good morning.
Go ahead, Karen.
Good morning. I'm just making my way in from the outhouse. All that talk of toilet paper this morning.
I had to put that together in short order.
that was nice. It made me smile.
Nice. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, Franco. Angus is not with us this morning. His wife is sick, so please pray for her. This nasty crud that's going around, my wife's got it right now. She was almost over it, and then it came back with a vengeance. So same crap I had last week. So let's pray for them. And he's taking care of
my grandson's her. Got it, too.
Yeah, it's really going around. You got to get the shot, right? You got to get the shot. But yeah. So you want to do the verse of the week already? Want to jump into it?
Let's rock and roll.
All right, let me throw it up. So we've used this one before. And here goes my StreamYard acting goofy. There we go. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. This is from King James Bible. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the reason I picked that is because what we're talking about today, we're talking about this new axis of evil. There's a house bill that went through we're going to take a look at. And people are kind of in that whole prepping mode right now because we see what's coming. The dollar is going to be trash. It already is trash. They have to get this war going because that's how they keep the dollar propped up, right? And they got to do that until they get CBDC rolled out. That I think that's the main takeaway from everything right now. So we prep, right? I've got some of these. This is a beautiful 1922 silver dollar I got from Tony. I've got ammunition. I've got food. We got property. But you know what? People say, okay, food's more important. Gold and silver's more important. You know, Bitcoin's more. You know, I think just do what you got to do, and then trust the rest of it. Just trust it to God. God's going to make sure that you have what you need in the time. I'm not saying don't prepare. We have to prepare somewhat, but I'm not going to stress over it anymore. I'm just going to do what God leads me to do, and I know that's going to be he's going to make sure I have what I need when the time comes. So that's what I got.
What do you think, Karen? What does that verse mean to you, ma'am?
We lost kind of a distant relative a week or two ago, and her daughter posted a Bible verse that said, basically, don't worry, that God will take care of you. Worry not. And it was just it was just so beautiful. And this reminds me of that verse also. I was actually thinking about requesting that verse today, but this one's perfect, Jason. Thank you. And as far as prepping goes, do what you can. Learn knowledge, relationships, small things, provisions, anything, whatever you can. It may not be gold and silver for you. It may be something else.
Right here.
Nice. Nice. There you go.
That's knowledge. Knowledge is important. Absolutely.
You know, I to Jay's point, I think prepping is all fine and dandy, but I think the most important prep you can do right now is your soul. We all are going to perish and go into, you know, whatever your belief system is. We're not going to be on this world. And a lot of people I know, they're not good with their soul.
Right.
And it's not a, you know, an intentional thing because they're evil or they just don't know how to do this. And I think you need to realize that our life here is very temporary and that you should act in a way, think in a way, and behave in a way that it nourishes your soul and preps your soul, because you're going to need a strong constitution to go through what we're going to go through here in the living world. And then, you know, our mortality is at hand with this. With the way that they're acting, the leaders of the world were on the precipice of World War III. So, you know, prep your soul, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I got out of that one.
Excellent, Franco. Excellent.
Amen. I would say these times that we're in, I've always had that peace inside. It was not really, I didn't really struggle with it. Even in the most difficult times in my life, I still had that peace. But with the events that are taking place now, it's getting harder to maintain that peace inside. And so I think that for even those of us who have never really struggled with that before, we really need to be mindful of taking the time to connect with God and to read the Bible or get out into nature. For me, it's getting out into nature and do those things. Spend time with the people you love. Do the things you enjoy and not get too caught up in the events of the world, because in the end, they really aren't the most important thing.
Nice.
Speaking of the events of the world, this is what's going on in the Middle East right now.
It's the Middle East.
Yeah, if you're listening, if you can't view, it's just a big old dumpster on fire. That's the Middle East. And right now I'm getting frustrated with it, because you got people, you know, I have friends that I love on both sides of the argument. Okay. And they make me feel like I have to make a choice. You know, I got to be either pro Israel or pro Palestine. Why do I have to have a choice? You know, I look at it like this, it's a trap. it's a trap. Right. And if you're listening, this is Lori Lightfoot, as General Akbar. Then
it's a trap.
but yeah, I'm saying we have stuff that and you talk about preparing your soul, right? About getting yourself right. And, you know, why am I going to divert my attention over to something that's actually being manufactured? And I don't know, maybe you could speak a little bit to, like, you know, I don't like how they hide behind a religion. Okay. It's a country that names itself for a religion, and it's a very clever trick. Because if you know, if you're pro-Jew, then you got to be pro-Israel, right? To me, that's a nice little trick they played to kind of hide behind it. And it's like saying, and I compare it to this, it's like saying if we were to call United States of America Christian, that's the name of our country, is Christianity, then we could actually blame everything the U.S. does on the faith. And that's kind of what they've done. So I choose not to participate in this one. You know, I want to step out, but they're driving that wedge between everybody across the globe so they can push this war. And we'll get into that. So what's your thoughts on it, Franco?
Here's the thing. My opinion, Israel is a produced state. It's manufactured. You had the 6-day war. You had them. They tried it more than once, and they finally got it in place. What was it, 1968 or something like that, if I remember correctly? But where they took a religion and they gave it a nation state, and then to do that, they displaced, you know, the Palestinian people, and it's, you know, does Christianity have a nation? I don't think so. Does Buddhism have a nation? No, I don't think so. Taoism? No. No, you know, they're the only people where the religion is the nation state. And this is the problem with me. you study ancient history and the Jews, the Jewish people. Okay. When I say Jews, Jewish people, I mean that the people who are in that area, they are brown like Palestinians. They are not white. They do not have red hair and blue eyes. No offense to you, Jay. All right. They're not alabaster white like a lot of the Jewish people you see around there. Those are European Jews that migrated there for one reason or the other. You know, so, and I'm not saying all of them are bad, but that wasn't their land to begin with. So in my mind, I believe that was placed there not only to put a thumb in the eye of the people who live there and steal their land, but it also, like you said, it's a religious thing, and you have all these all these religious overtones with it, right? You know, I got a lot of Christian people who say, oh, they're the chosen people. That when they say that in the Bible, that's not what I don't think that's what they're saying. I think that's what that means is anybody in believing in Jesus Christ are the chosen. There's your Israeli, you know, that's who they're referring to. I don't think they're referring to a specific race of people, because I just don't think God is that petty, right? You're thinking like a man when you start saying stuff like that. So, Karen, what do you think about this?
Oh, boy. Well, I think most of us in this community know the history well enough to realize that this is a story we've been told, and it's been very well linked to our patriotism as Americans. And also, as it's been pushed onto the Christian faith also to support that nation state, which is not legitimate in my mind either, because of the history. You have to look at who funded it, where the people came from, the people of Israel. There are factions and different beliefs amongst the people of Israel. They don't support a lot. Many of them don't support. There are actual rabbis that are protesting and making very legitimate and compassionate arguments as to why this violence is not appropriate and why it isn't appropriate to just keep forcing the Palestinian people into smaller and smaller tracts of land. And I think there are very legitimate analogies with the Native Americans here in this country or any country that was colonized, and the Aboriginal people or the people who were on the land before have been mistreated and kind of herded off. Also, when you were giving your opinion there, Tiger, I noticed that now there are very similar circumstances with the jabs that we've seen in the pandemics. And this is the thing with Israel here that we're seeing, is that there have been many attempts made throughout history to have a virus, a flu, and have a global inoculation, and it just didn't quite take. And so they had to try to work it up several times and get people riled up. And they've done the same thing with Israel and Palestine. There have been several attempts at they're making their goal, reaching their goal. So I think that it has to go from one crisis to another, keep us all in a state of keep our adrenaline flowing and keep us off balance and attack us from every angle. And that I just see the suffering, just the suffering. And everybody suffers. I'm for the people. I'm for humanity and decency.
Absolutely. I need to correct myself here. And thank you guys in the chat. I woke up late this morning. I was pretty tired. But it was the declaration, Harp says, and Levi and also Chris Graves gave me all the same information. Declaration, the 14th of May, 1948. That's right. In the UN, May 1949, in the 11th of May, 1949. And that's when. And you know what? What if we really look at it, guys, what is Israel? It was a colony put in place by the United States and the English government and, you know, the UN, that whole Western bloc. Actually, it's our military colony there, if you ask me. I mean, that's really what it is.
Exactly.
And, you know, I always ask the why. You know, why do we need to have this conflict right now? I think it's all manufactured, it's drummed up. Well, here's the reason why. I'm going to jump into this. This comes from ContraFact. ContraFact, he's a listener of David Knight. I see him in the DLive chat. I see him in the Rockfin chat. But he brought this up, and I wasn't aware that it got this far. But this passed. It's a House Resolution 559. It passed passed through Congress. And what this basically says, it's not long. You can read it. You can find it really easily. But it basically declares Iran it says that Iran has nuclear material that they can complete a weapon, and under any circumstance whatsoever, we must stop it. We must stop it. So we're basically declaring war on Iran because we're telling them, you can't have what you already possess. So, and if you read down here, by any means necessary, I'm sorry, I lost my glasses. So let me, I got some bifocals here, but I lost my regular
bifocals. Yeah,
it breaks my neck doing this. But it basically says in here, under no, you know, it's not going to be acceptable. Well, who are we? Who are we to tell another country what they can and can't have? What if Iran says that under no circumstances whatsoever should the U.S. have material capable of making a nuclear bomb?
And who says they actually have the materials?
Yeah.
Is this weapons of mass destruction back? I want it verified. Or
look at this. To use all means necessary to prevent Iran from obtaining nuclear weapon. And, well, they have the material already. So what are we going to take it? Is that what we're doing? And now we have this axis of evil thing that they assign. They're putting the pieces out there. They're moving the chessboard around to set up a new global axis of evil because they're going to take us to war.
This goes back to the PNAC report, right? Of the seven countries that they're trying. And this is the thing. It's so convoluted. I have friends from the Middle East, and a lot of them believe that this is all like a show and Iran is in on this. And that we're really, this is the thing about Iran. People don't understand. If we go to war with Iran, all right, that means we're going to war with Russia and China because mm-hmm. they're not going to sit there and let us go to war. It's going to be a big mess, right? They are like the tripwire of the booby trap of World War III, in my opinion.
Here you go, right here, Mitch McConnell. Sunday, he invoked the controversial phrase "axis of evil" to describe growing global threats to the United States and NATO. And in there is listed Russia, China, and Iran. They are setting the stage. And I agree with you, Franco. I think that these people are all in on it. Why? Why do we want a global war? Well, let's take a look at the dollar. They need war to prop up the dollar until they get their CBDC rolled out. And I've got this right here. I'll just read it. Here's one article. This is from earlier in the month. BRICS dumped total of 17.4 billion U.S. treasuries. That's in September of 2023. Okay. And specifically, China was in on it. Saudi Arabia was at 1.1 billion. And then there's another article here. An additional, how much was it? 18.5 billion dropped. Again, China. So they're going to destroy our dollar. War is how they always fix it. That's where I see it going. I'm glad you're on to talk about it because you're the finance guy, Tiger, and I'd like to get your take on what's going on with the dollar and is this why we're going to war because of the dollar?
I think that's part of it, dude. I think it's the dollar and energy. Energy, energy, energy. They have the energy over there. And for some reason, we don't use our own energy here. We take our oil and we sell it everywhere else. But all those oil-producing nations, I've said this ad nauseum, if you live in like one of those backwards countries, as we're told, they don't pay for gas like we do. It's way cheaper there because they sell their citizens their own gas. And that the energy there is something that they want along with the collapse of the dollar. The BRICS nations are dumping dollars. I've been watching all week. It's been a Herculean effort, again, by the Federal Reserve to keep that bond, that 10-year yield, below 5%. As other countries dump major, you know, amounts of our bond, the 10-year yield keeps going up. The only people buying that stuff back and have the money, the big guns that have the money, the big pockets, is the Federal Reserve, the snake-headed gypsy tin vendors. So that's what I see going on this week. And you're right, Jay. There's an attack on the U.S. dollar, the hegemony of the dollar. And here's my thing, though. Like Tony says, the bankers here in this country, they will do everything they can, down to the last American, to try to keep the U.S. dollar king. And that's what really scares me. And here's the thing. We all say the plan, this plan, that plan.
This U.S. dollar?
Oh, God, yeah, my favorite thing. We're dealing with central planners. And central planners, they have all these great plans. But if you've ever tried to plan something all the way out, we all know, like Karen, like when you plan a wedding or something, right? There's things that happen that you can't account for, right? There's all kinds of contingencies, right? And these things happen, you can't account for them, and they go into motion and you really can't control them. So we have these central planners here doing this nightmare scenario of, you know, the Rothschild formula, creating a war. And they don't, I don't think they, I mean, they might know the consequences, but their unintended consequences of their actions are always, always a nightmare for the people.
Yeah. Chris Graves points out after 9/11, the axis of evil that we assigned was Iran, Iraq, and North Korea. So they're always going to have this invisible enemy, you right. know, but it's a trap, you know, like Lori Lightfoot would say, it's a trap. I love that picture. It's hilarious. But I don't know. What do you think about it, Karen, about this axis of evil? And
well, I think that there are a limited, we know the end goal, or we think we do. We've all talked about it quite a bit. We discuss it quite a bit, which is a one world government and depopulation and moving. I was looking back at Dr. John Coleman recently in the Committee of 300, and some of the lectures he gave are really worth listening to again back in the 90s. And he says that Bertrand Russell said, and I have a book that was my uncle's from the 50s, that, you know, we need to depopulate by about 50%. And they've been making these plans for quite some time. Mm-hmm. But Dr. John Coleman also said that the middle class, the American middle class, or the middle class around the world, which grew after World War II, has become too powerful. We're too self-sufficient. And so I think we've been seeing a huge effort using many types of enemies, the invisible enemy, the axis of evil, the terrorist threats, then the invisible magic virus. And they have to keep rotating these threats, and they may add in some weather warfare here and there. But I think we're seeing the middle class demolished around the world. And I think that's really, and it's in such slow motion. I feel like it's a snowball rolling down the hill. All of this is a snowball rolling down the hill. And it's at first the progress was fairly slow and you couldn't really see it. You could kind of keep up with it and it wasn't too overwhelming, but I feel like the snowball is picking up momentum. And I'm just wondering at some point, will the planners not be able to control that snowball anymore? And I think that's my question is, will there be an uncontrolled crash, or will it the demolition be controlled all the way down?
Well, they have set the hay wagon on fire. It's going downhill against the wind and picking up speed. What could go wrong?
Right.
Hey, we've got some quotes in the chat. I want to give everybody a shout out real quick here, Jay. We're getting to the bottom of the hour here. We got Geesebusters. We got Garber Goldsmith. We've got Levi from Narrow Way, Narrow Gates Ministries. We got Pigeon Verse 2. We have Patrick the Plumber, Harps, Ron Tate. Who else do we got? Anybody I'm missing? I don't think I'm missing. And Chris Graves, the mastodon of researchers. But, Pigeon Verse 2 said, it's building 7 economics. Oh, Assyrian Girl, what's going on? I agree with that one. That's a great one. You know, building 7 economics, that's a great way to put it.
You know, I'm looking right now on my computer trying to find this file. Karen kind of tickled my brain there a little bit. It got me thinking about this depopulation agenda.
That's my job.
It's actually not. Vince sent me some interesting links, and I tried to Google it real quick, and this is what I get now when I try to pull it up, because I reported on this before. I hit the wrong button there. Forbidden.
Guard goes on to say the Constitutional Declaration of War idea is not even acknowledged in D.C. anymore, and that's right.
Right.
You know, Guard, Vince and I, we put together this restoration of peace, and it's been edited 3 times. And the last time we edited it, and this is the final edit, you can find it on our Substacks, he pulled out the constitutional thing, because guess what? With the new speaker and the way they'll vote for a war now, it's the Constitution in my mind is not working anymore. The document has totally been usurped, and there's nothing we can do about it. So, you know, it's a shame, you know, that we are where we are at. It's just a shame.
Yeah, I'd like to go back to the Articles of Confederation, because that takes the power away from the federal government. That's the problem they had with the Articles of Confederation, that they didn't have a solid funding method for the government for the federal. But once once they fix that with the Constitution, now it's out of control. But
exactly
the depopulation. So it wouldn't let me pull this document up. I was trying to search on my computer for it. I have it somewhere. But there's UN documents going back years and years that talk about replacement migration. So, you know, you could sit there and joke around and say, oh, you're crazy. They talk about replacement. No, they talked about replacement migration. And it basically what they're looking at is they're looking at fertility rates. You know, people middle class not having kids right away. So we don't have kids like a third world nation has kids. We have less children. We wait till later in life to have children. And then they also talk about aging population. So now we have people that paid into their Social Security, but they can't afford to pay back to those people. So we got to get rid of those people. And we've reported on fertility rates. We've reported on excess deaths. Which countries are the ones having the excess deaths? The first world countries that got the jab pushed out, right? But if you look, you could think of it as depopulation, and it kind of is, but really it's replacement. They want to replace. They want to shuttle in people from third world nations that are used to not having any freedoms. That way they can backfill people that they don't have an obligation to pay their Social Security to, right? And they just replace us with a working class, like little plebes. They're going back to the old serfdom. That's what they're trying to do. So yes, they're depopulating. They know they're depopulating. They pretend it's just a natural phenomena, but it's not. I would say it's our diet. You know, they've attacked our food, the medications they feed us. I mean, I talked to Dr. LaGuardia about it. I had the brain fog going on because of this medication I'm taking, you know, and, you know, we got to get smart with it and don't let them kill us off, because they're just going to replace you with somebody from a third world nation that will do what they're told. They'll work for pennies. They'll move into the 15-minute freedom city, right? And they'll take the mark of the beast. That way they have total control over them. That's where I see the big picture is. And the wars, the crash in the dollar and the wars and everything, that's all part of it. That's all part of to get us to that end state. So my opinion.
What do you think, Karen? On the multiculturalism aspect of it.
I think that the culture has to be diluted. All traditions have to be diluted. You need to be made to, and it's very slowly. Yuri Brezhnev talked about this quite a bit. Very slowly been taking place, where all of the traditional actual community and familial roles and values of America, but of many cultures around the world, have been diluted, and you're made to feel that there's something wrong with you if you are patriotic. Or I know people that wore a mask because they didn't want to be associated with a flag waver. So during the pandemic, so they needed to wear a mask so someone didn't think that they were Make America Great Again person, leaving Trump aside. You know, that people are, we've been made to feel that it's shameful to be an American or to be a white person. If you're pro people, just any person, I judge a person by their fruits, by their values, and by their, you know, just by the sum total of their personality and their works. But if you're white, you're raised to think that there's something wrong with you, and you're racist just for being white or black or whatever it is. So I think that it's been taking place for a long time, but now we are seeing the actual physical people being moved in, and that can also cause unrest.
I was just about to get to that. And all multiculturalism, it sounds like a great word, but they have used it to destabilize societies. Hence, right. Look at what's going on in the Middle East for eons. This is just part of the probably one of Machiavelli's recipes. But I have a quote here I want to read to Jay's point. Diet injections and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable. And any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. Even if all are miserable, all will believe themselves happy because the government will tell them they are so. And that's Bertrand Russell, of course.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of you have heard that one before, but that's, you know, that's another big part of what's going on.
Speaking of diet, Sasha Latapova says that she just put out a Substack, and I've heard her say that The fish, farmed fish, are full of mRNA and DNA injections. So do not eat farmed fish. And that would probably translate into a lot of the fish oil that we buy. So consider the source of your fish oil, because we're taking fish oil for our health. And also that it was studied and the DNA is still in the fish for a year. So
yeah, isn't that nice? I just started taking the fish oil and I made sure to get non-GMO. So that was a big concern of mine. And I got to thinking, well, if they have to label it non-GMO, that means there's a GMO option.
Right.
So definitely.
You know, everything's got bioengineered stuff in it. It's ridiculous. It's driving me insane, the amount of bioengineered stuff that we're running into here. You go into the grocery store and it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's like impossible to, you know, buy that. That's another subject for another day, though. Sorry.
Yeah, I was digging through as you guys were talking, just to kind of like to go back to this is actually a global plan that I'm not some crazy guy. Okay. I pulled these up. I had these prepped for another show. So here's Agenda 21, Chapter 36, and it talks about promoting education globally. So one thing they're doing is they're re-educating us. This is the first world nations to be self-destructive, okay? And it goes into all this stuff, you know, being, what is it called, eco-aware and all this other stuff, sustainable. They use the word sustainable. And, you know, they're not teaching reading, writing, arithmetic no more. They're teaching ideas, philosophies, which is not their job. And then to go back to, you know, they're trying to kill us. This was interesting, and I don't know if I reported on this or not, but I was doing some research into Event 201, and during Event 201, I believe it was Event 201, this was the one they did right before. It might have been the SPARS pandemic, but the one that they were doing right before COVID-19, at the same time that they're doing, that Johns Hopkins is hosting this event where they planned out the global destruction, the shot, you know, heard around the world or felt around the world in your arm. They had released this warning. So this is February 28th, 2019. And basically this talks about, they acknowledged that they were trying to aerosolize bird flu. This was done here at two universities in the United States. When we're talking about, oh, we don't do gain of function, you know,
for what? Why would you want to aerosolize bird flu? Really? I mean, I wonder why. There's nothing nefarious about that idea at all.
Yeah, and then, you know, who was infected? Take a look at the whole COVID-19 thing. So I'm thinking that if COVID-19 was a real thing, it may have been this thing right here that they created. It could have been
anything. See, that's the
problem. There's no way of knowing.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll ever know.
They isolated the dang thing, so we don't even know what it is.
Pat the plumber tipped us $20. Thanks, Pat.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Pat. Awesome.
That's awesome. We got plans for that money too. Tiger and I were talking, we got a few funds. Thanks to y'all. You donated. We got plans to, improve the show. I'll just put it that way. We just got to figure out how to get it out of there.
Anything you guys donate to either the Knights of the Storm or the Foxhole or the Tigers, then we're not living high on the hog over here. We're just, oh, I can buy a piece of equipment, you know, or whatever it is. It's for the production of the show. So we appreciate that, guys.
And made a nice, observation. She said that the junk food aisles, and that goes for the candy aisles, they're always full. They always make sure that those are fully stocked.
Absolutely.
And yeah, you look at other things like, I was out trying to get some canned goods. I don't usually shop. It's my wife that does the shopping because she's smarter with money than I am. But I remember what it was. It was right before last Thanksgiving, and she sent me out to get, something she needed to make her green bean casserole, which is amazing. And those particular items were not, like, I had to dig through to find the ones she wanted. They didn't keep those fully stocked. Like your better foods, you're supposed to shop around the outside of the supermarket. Mm-hmm. That's where all your good, but you know, it's garbage food there. It's either rotting or, you know, or, you got to really like dig through and find, but yeah, you go to the junk food aisle, that will be full every single time.
Geesebusters. Thank you, Geesebusters, for the $20 tip, by the way.
They put the food with nutritional value usually the furthest walk away from the door. Yeah. And the junk food and the chemicalized processed sugars and carbs are at eye level and right as you're walking out, and they put those at kids' eye level also. It's all very calculated. I was a teacher, and I remember when the food pyramid was switched so that instead of fruits and vegetables being prominent, it was the lowest, the foundation of the pyramid was switched to grains, mm-hmm. which is absolutely not what you should be the foundation of your diet, especially our GMO glyphosate ridden grains these days. But it's all about money. It's very well known that the foods that are pushed it goes to the highest bidder. There's bidding wars for these things, for nutritional recommendations. The first food that's recommended to be fed to a baby now when they go to solid foods is carbs.
Of course.
This is what you're talking about right here.
Yes.
This is the food here. So I would challenge people to think about this, and this goes with anything.
Is that real, or is that a joke that I'm looking at?
That's real.
That's real. That I used to teach that in second grade.
Wait a minute. At the top is
candy. Is that candy?
How is that even on the food pyramid?
I think that's.
It's supposed to be okay. It's supposed to be okay. Okay, occasionally, but there are things in that pyramid at the very top that are actually really good for you.
Well. I think that that's all messed up. That's mixed up badly.
But it was a bidding war. The dairy and the dairy lobby and the bread wheat lobby had kind of a bidding war as to who got which part of the pyramid.
Yeah, wow.
And now look at all the farmland that Bill Gates, king of the GMO, the GMO king.
The Chinese, our axis of evil owns a buttload of land here.
Yeah, you know, that's a great observation, Jay. We have the act, we're doing business with all of the access of evil. We sold all of our all of our industry went over to China. I mean, like, we covered this with Vince a couple weeks ago in the Tiger's Den. This is just, they gutted our country. It's gutted right now. Even if we get into a war, we can never do what we did like during World War I and World War II and turn on our manufacturing.
With that being said, Franco, you know more about the GDP and stuff, but with no industry left, how do we ever crawl out of this hole if our GDP can't support paying back our debts or even maintaining the dang interest on the debt?
Well, paying the interest on the debt at this point is more than our defense budget, which is huge. And the scary thing about that is that if you take out defense spending, okay, with these two last wars, our GDP is actually in the negative. That's where we're at. Durable goods orders, they went up last week. And the only reason they went up is because we have a war. That's it. It's all smoke and mirrors. Just the whole, you know, it's a bluff, like you pointed out last night. Jason and I were talking last night. The whole monetary system that we're on is a bluff. That was a great way to put it, Jay.
Yeah, and I think to what end is CBDC, Mark of the Beast control, I think. And, you know, going back to the food pyramid, and Karen, good observation. It was a bidding war. So the people who are forcing this on us, like the food pyramid, and just what you just name anything, these people are actually being used by a higher group, and they're using politicians for their greed, their power greed. They're using the industries for their monetary greed. So they know what motivates and then we blame those people. We blame the industry, we blame politicians, but really there's something, and you know it's global because you can go look up the UN documents. They talk about it. It's a global thing. You see the same thing happen in every first world nation. It's like everything has aligned with this fourth turning. Every country that is this first world nation that they're destroying, they all have massive immigration, shorter lives, you know, for the people who live there. Now we have new people coming to replace us. I mean, it's evident. It's clear. And if you talk about it, people think you're crazy. I'm just like, turn on the news. Oh, wait, don't do that because they're going to distract you with this nonsense in Israel right now. So we don't see what's going on right in front of our faces. So sorry for the rant, man.
Any cohesive group, any cohesive culture, any cohesive group, community-wise, family-wise, even marriage-wise, parents and children, they're all being diluted and undermined. And that goes from the smallest unit we could have to the larger ones, as far as cities, counties, state, they're all being undermined and diluted. Mm-hmm. Because that's the, that way we have no power.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're going
to
have no,
you know, back to the war, guys, we have been turned into a spectator nation. The bread and circuses, you know, model of the Roman Empire. We're spectate. We have no idea what it's like in these other countries where there's war. And you know, you hear the, I hate to use the term, Karen, but the flag waving, you know, Bush drinking, you know, yeehaw, we're going to kill some Hajis. You got those guys, you know, running around. Then you got the, you know, and then you got the Christian part of it. Well, we got to defend the people of Israel, God's people. We got to do that. And we're all spectating. And, you know, I have friends who are Palestinian and they have people who live in Palestine and live in Israel. And like you guys said, the people living there, the Jewish people, the Palestinian people, they're aghast right now. Because here's the thing. Palestine, before this recent, most recent conflict broke out, they were not in good shape. The Gaza Strip, there's barely any food. There's barely any clean drinking water. They had the Yemenis over there. The House of Saud and Israel had the Yemenis over there for the last 15 years. Nobody talks about it. Greatest humanitarian, you know, catastrophe in modern times here within the last couple decades. They're starving to death, you know, and we're part of all this. Our government's part of all this. They're doing this on the behest, but what, not on the behest, but they're, it looks like on the behest of the American people. Then we wonder why everybody hates us. Yeah, they're doing it in our name. And it's horrible because these people barely had anywhere to live. If you know, you ever seen like the poor places in Mexico where they're living in these hovels that they threw together with debris? That's how it is in Palestine. They it's not like they're living high on the hog over there. And we just have no idea what that's really like. And we spectate and we sit here and even us, we're pontificating. Wait till that comes here. We're not ready for that. The madness that will ensue will engulf this nation and we will eat each other.
Well, look at this. If people think it's not coming here, I'll tell you it's already here. You could look at the homeless. I was in Rolla about a month ago. Rolla's right down the road from me. And my wife has a friend, a lifelong friend that was visiting. So I was taking him back. And it gets cold here in Missouri. It gets bitterly cold. And I'm driving over this bridge and he says, hey, look down there. And there's a whole shanty town of homeless people. Now, I could tell you right now, you could say, okay, these guys are homeless because they just want to beg and they're lazy. No, if you're homeless, you don't live where it gets cold. They're not homeless by choice. You know, some people are. Some people made bad life choices or whatever, but it is all over. Look at San Francisco, anywhere in California.
Right.
People. I've seen a documentary, and there was a little girl that was going to school. Her dad was a middle-class guy. They lost their home. They were living on the streets. He was trying to get a new job, and he's still making sure she went to school every day. So it's coming down to like the everyday people, we're going to live like in a third world nation, and that's what they want. They want to destroy it, and they want to rebuild it. They want to rebuild it as a 15-minute city, and you might not be part of it. You might be dead. They're going to bring in a replacement class that's not going to ask any questions. So that's where
Winky Wanky Woo in the chat. Welcome to the show. I've never seen your name there. I don't know. I've been in and out of the Knights of the Storm, but he says we can be human and say the conditions in Palestine are terrible and inhumane. And then they say, oh, you support Hamas. And he's right. And then Patrick says, I was in Oakland yesterday. They have a population of splatterpunks. I'm not sure what that means, but I think he kind of defines it in the next statement. One half step away from zombies. So I get it. Yeah, unfortunately, most of our homeless population are drug addicts, and it's not a good thing.
I think a lot of that goes down to, the pharmaceutical industry got them hooked. And then you have some people that just don't have any hope. That's why we do the verse of the week. You know, we got to have hope. We know what's coming. We know what their plans are. They have documentation on it. They run drills. They run exercises. They make no bones about it. They'll tell you to your face.
What's right. Coming.
And then when you say, oh, really, you're doing that? Oh, you're crazy. Who would do that? No, they tell you. So I think that it's important that we do have hope, though.
Without hope, there's no life. And when there's life, there's hope. My dad told me that before I went into prison. He's like, there's life, there's hope, buddy. So.
Yeah. Patrick says, fill in the blank, any major U.S. city. And it's true.
Yep. Absolutely.
Anyway, what else we got to talk about today, Franco?
I have a little bit off the topic, but let me get this up here. You guys know I follow Gregory Manor. You know, he's really, really astute. I'll go through this article. It's very short. If
you want to share it, share the screen. I'll throw it up.
Well, I mean, I'll just read. It's not that long. It's no big deal. But it comes from his newsletter on Substack, and it says, first off, can I see your shocked face? Which, yeah, no, I'm not shocked. If you follow me or him or Gerald or any of these other guys, but Bank of America alerted customers on Friday that their deposits may be delayed due to a problem impacting multiple banks. Customers at Bank of America, Chase, U.S. Bank and Trust, and Wells Fargo have complained of issues on Friday morning. In a message to customers on Friday, Bank of America said, some deposits may be temporarily delayed. The message said the deposits from Friday may be delayed due to an issue impacting multiple financial institutions. Your accounts remain secure, and your balance will be updated as soon as the deposit is received, the Bank of America message read. You do not need to take any action. Neither the Federal Reserve or the U.S. Treasury, who is bankrupt, by the way, and had to borrow money from the Fed again, I think it was last week, were immediately available to comment. None of the banks provided a comment. So there's something going on. Now, Greg floated out the idea yesterday that it might be a cyber attack, and there's a good chance of that. But I go in a little bit of a different direction. I believe that the Federal Reserve is having such an issue tackling this 10-year yield, this bond disaster that they have going on, because the bond disaster will collapse the stock market if that gets out of control. The value of the dollar goes down, the value of the bond goes up, the bond yield goes up, and that is what we're looking for in pre-collapse condition. That's a precursor to the stock market collapsing if you watch those two things. And I think that there's a liquidity problem. There's been a liquidity problem going on. And I think with the repo bond market, when they started that in October of 2018, they started moving massive amounts of money around to the bank. That's what the bigger banks. Okay. So in the middle of the night while we're sleeping, to fake liquidity, there's this big amount of money in the repo bond market that gets floated around to all the major institutions. Okay. So that way they don't look like they don't have anything. Right?
Because they deposit it and move it around, deposit and then move it to the next one, kind of float the money around. So it.
Yep. And yeah. I think they're having problems doing that because they're creating so much money to keep that 10-year yield below 5%. That's the magic number. They don't want it going over 5%.
You ever see the movie Sergeant Bilko?
I have not. I have not.
Oh, it's hilarious. So he's they're faking having inventory because they're getting inspected. And they basically, there's all these boxes, and then his CO or whatever is out there counting the boxes. And as he's going down the line, he's got people with a dolly taking the boxes from the end of the line to the other end of the line. So they just keep adding boxes they've already counted. And that's kind of what they do with the money. You know, they're
exactly. And here's the thing. Even if something, say something happens with these banks, the FDIC is in a $12 billion shortfall.
Right.
They don't have enough. They don't have the money to cover it all.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Catherine Austin Fitz has a lot of steps and information on her Solari site. And she gives you a kind of a coming clean process where you kind of learn to divest yourself from these main banks and find a local bank, local credit union, how to vet them and how, you know, that type of thing. Do you think there's any point if somebody, say, has their money at Wells Fargo, is it worth going and finding a local credit union and moving your money at this point, or is everything going to go down anyway? I have a credit union, but I'm just curious what you think about that, the staying power of smaller local banks or credit unions.
You know, I watched what they did with the SVB thing, and mm-hmm. they're going to go after these smaller banks. I think... Principle-wise, yeah, a credit union's the way to go. This is not financial advice, by the way. I think that they are safer to a certain extent because most of them run for nonprofit. All right, but here's the thing. When they consolidate, when they start consolidating, those little credit unions are going to get in the way. They're going to be like the wildcat banks back in the 1921 Farmers Depression. Okay, and they're going to find a way to eliminate these places. I almost tend to say, if you are going to work within their system, that the larger banks like Chase or Wells Fargo or even Bank of America, who's in trouble, they're going to be in trouble, but they'll merge. It'll be a merger or an acquisition, yep. And they'll go with a bigger bank. Those places are bulletproof almost to a certain point, because they're the institutions. They're going to consolidate down to the point for the CBDC where there's only a couple of large institutions. And those are the institutions that we just previously mentioned are the larger institutions. And those are the institutions that they want in place. So we don't feel like, oh, it's the government. And, you know, CBDC is, you know, it's from the government. They'll still give the illusion that you're dealing with the bank. But like I say, okay, right. This is the Federal Reserve. Here's Chase. Here's Wells Fargo. You know, here's the legs are Bank right. of America. They're all connected.
Yeah.
If there are bail-ins, and this financial is not my thing, so this is my opportunity to ask you a question. Do you see? I forgot my question. Oh, bail-ins. Would bail-ins all be done at once, or could they do small bail-ins, kind of without, so that people don't get too up in arms? Or is that already even happening?
Well, yeah. Well, the bail-ins are happening because, you know, and we don't see it because, like I said, there's that repo bond market, right? And there's also what they call the convenience window. I believe it's the convenience window or something, where banks are constantly borrowing money from the Federal Reserve. Well, the Federal Reserve is printing that money. It's causing inflation. And actually, that's a hidden tax. So we're, yeah. you know, by default bailing in. So that's the way that you're talking about, where it's subtle and we don't know about it. If some kind of catastrophe happens with the market, which it's going to sooner or later here, because the bond market, which is the debt market, which is the driver of the real estate market, is so unstable that then they'll hit the taxpayer up for the bail-in.
Yeah. And I was going to mention that as well, the inflation. I mean, like I said, this was a 1922 silver dollar, right? Mm-hmm. And it was worth a dollar for the longest time. And now it's worth what? 22 bucks roundabout. So the inflation is going to happen incrementally. It has, but we just talked about all those billions of dollars that are going to come back home, and we're really going to see it. And I think they will try and do it incrementally, slowly, so people aren't up in arms, but they're going to go after every single bank. You know, they use that word. Well, they're not solvent. They're not. Guess what? There is no bank that's solvent, because they use fractional reserve banking.
Right. Which
means that they have money that is loaned out that they just made up. They pulled it out of their behind. It's just ones and zeros on a computer screen. So if anybody ever wanted to try and get that money out, it doesn't exist. It's in
exactly.
your
own. And it's, yep. They have zero reserves they have to hold on to right now.
Yep.
I was talking to a banker the other. He said, "Oh, we have reserves." I'm like, "What?" I mean, no, you have zero reserves. Yeah, you don't have reserves. You know, they don't know, the people that work at banks. They don't know this stuff. They have no. You talk. You could get the manager of a Chase, and you're talking. You might as well be talking Mandarin to him. He doesn't understand a damn thing you're saying. Pardon my French.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't in his training.
Chris reminded us, freeworld.fm is launching today.
Yes, it is.
Yep. And I thought we were going to be live on there this morning, but I guess not. I'm not sure if it's going to be noon or what time. I know he's had some programming up there. I've been checking it out. There is a chat there as well. If you sign up, you could chat with people. It's pretty neat. So I'm looking forward to seeing what it becomes.
And I will be on there live tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time. For my first show on terrestrial, or I guess it's terrestrial, right? It's not only internet, but it's FM as well.
I think it's only, don't quote me, but I think it's only internet right now.
Okay, so, but it's going to go terrestrial.
I think that's the plan, yes.
I've never done a radio show, ladies and gentlemen, so this ought to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, it'll be
awesome.
Yeah, so I guess we're about there. Do we want to do some plug-in? And
well, wait a minute. I got a funny video. Can I share it? It has to do with the health we were talking about.
Yeah. Remember to check the little box that says share audio. I think it'll work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm good. Hold on. I'm going to rewind it and get it ready for us. And we got present, bang. And yes, we want to do that. And yep, the audio screen. And we'll go like that. And let us know if you can hear it in the chat, ladies and gentlemen. I can't see the chat because I'm sharing the screen. So,
okay.
This is sad, but I love this guy because of his passion. Watch it towards the end. It's great. This should get some funny laughs out of everybody. Oh, yeah. That doesn't work over there. Yeah.
I really can't make this shit up right now.
I can hear it.
Which the government just graded above steak, the new food pyramid grade. Said that Lucky Charms is better than steak. Well, check this out. Look at that. Red 40, yellow 5 and 6, blue 1, and ta-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But let's get to the main course here. Trisodium phosphate. See that right there?
We're about to go to Home Depot right now.
And I'm going to... What they're really doing, guys. Let's put this back right here. They got nothing to do with that. Because I really want to rip it apart and throw it all over the trash. They're doing it, guys. I'm about to come back here. I'm going to show you at a Home Depot right now.
We're on our way to Home Depot right now. We're going to Home Depot right now. We're pulling up right here right now. We're pulling up here right now. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you.
Look at that. Motherfuckers. I'm going to show you guys. I'm going to show you what the fuck they're doing. Shut up, guys. Look at it. They don't even have the hardcore version. This one is phosphate free. Heavy duty cleaner. It's a paint remover. Or one of those things that you put on the floor to clean. Look at that. Clean surfaces in preparation and everything. Can make this shit up, guys. That's what they got in the Lucky Charms. And it's not like anybody ever felt ill from eating it. I don't know. I'm going to show you in a part. But look at this, guys. Fucking doing it.
So sorry for the language. I didn't realize there was so much swearing in there. But I love the guy's passion, right? I'm going to show you. But, you know. This should be the reaction of everybody, and I love that the guy was that upset about it.
You know, the language is appropriate in that situation.
I worked at a cereal plant for a while, a Gilster in Perryville, Missouri, and I'll tell you this. When you read that label and you're looking at the vitamins and minerals, those are all synthetic.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we talked to Dr. LaGuardia. I've talked to him a couple of times, and you know, he's been doing this for 40 years. You know, he's a holistic kind of healer. And he even says that, you know, your body doesn't absorb those synthetic vitamins and minerals. So even what it says is good for you on the box, your body is absorbing a fraction of that. You're just eating cardboard, basically. That's all you're doing is eating cardboard. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. I found that out when I worked there. It's just a bucket of powder that synthetically made vitamins and minerals, and they have a lab there that they have to test it, and if it doesn't come out to be a certain percentage plus or minus of what the box says, they have to get rid of the cereal. They can't sell it. You know, that's our FDA for you, right? That's why we couldn't give the baby formula to the children when we had the baby formula cut off.
Uh-huh.
And they were saying, hey, let's bring it over from Mexico. Mexico's got a ton of this stuff that they weren't allowing us to bring it over there. They're letting children starve because of the labeling requirements. Same exact stuff that we make here. It's just the label was different.
That's insane, because there's 19 the other 19 modern countries across the world do not eat GMO. They don't have red dye number 44 or trisodium phosphate inside their, you know, their food. They don't allow that, as nefarious as their governments are.
The American Pediatric Association and the dietary societies have all been paid off by Big Pharma, also by the formula companies and the other, you know, big manufacturers of food. And so, I was looking at the recommendations recently, and Cheerios are higher in nutrition value, they say, than scrambled eggs and steak. It's insane.
That's nonsense.
Yep. All right, well, we want to get ready to burn it down here.
Let's do some plugs, and then we'll do some shout-outs to the chat, everybody, and then we'll get going, Jay.
All right.
I've got to go to the bank, actually, after this.
It's a trap. All right, so we got – all right, Knights of the Storm. Just come here if you want to see who we got. Of course, we got our friends tab, all the people that we like to view and stuff in here.
You got Free World FM on there?
Yes, I do. Where is it? Modern Retro Radio. It's in here somewhere. I'll have to double check and make sure. But
are you feeding? I don't see it, Jay. What are you talking about?
I guess not. I guess I will have to make sure that is here.
I use that page and the schedule page a lot.
Yeah. So I got some updating to do. I know Chris Graves, he's got a new channel. I got to make sure that link goes to his new channel. And I got some updating to do, but I'll get her done today, folks. But yeah, come here and see where we're at. And Tiger, you want to go ahead and plug yourself?
Well, I'd like to plug all our friends. Everybody go down to Chris Graves' new channel on Rumble. It's Digging with Chris Graves. Make sure it's Chris's channel. And when you go to my channel, when you punch in Angry Tiger, Angry Tiger's Den on Rumble, make sure it's my channel so other people don't get credit for our work. So we just want to make sure that we put that out there. Also, you know, we got Angus Mustang, who's got Event Horizon. We've got, who else do we got? We've got the launch of Free World FM. You know, America Unplugged's going to be on here in an hour, and Guard's going to be there. And because the boys at Free World are getting things together. So we got a lot going on within the family here. And when I say that, I mean that in a nice way, you know, not a gang, not hoods. We're a family of love, you know, and integrity. And so we've all got so much going on, but yeah, go to the Knights of the Storm webpage and you can find everything there. You know, it's definitely the place to go. And Jay's got Free World up at FM up on the screen right now. So very excited for all this. Lots of exciting things. Check out Garth Goldsmith. That guy is like an Energizer bunny. Last night, I'm like, wow, where does he get the energy to do a four-hour show? It's unbelievable. Hats off to you, Garth. And hats off, Vince Agnelli. There's another one. Guys, you got to check out the Resolution for Peace. Go to the Public Wheel Substack. Go to Angry Tiger's newsletter. Go to the Knights of the Storm. I mean, it's super important that that we do that. And you can find me on Rumble, you can find me on YouTube, all the Podbean, all the little podcast places, you know, all of it. I'm there. So
Don Jeffries.
I protest. Yeah, he had a great show yesterday about custody and stuff like that. People's kids getting taken away from them. Sorry about that, Don. You are the man. Don is the man. And check out his book, Masking the Truth. You definitely want to do that.
You reminded me, I have updated the read section. And go support Don. This is a great book, Masking the Truth. It goes into, basically, we saw it happen in real time. But this is a good synopsis of the whole thing. And all these different people. Here's Guard. Guard's got some fiction stuff. This I heard, I haven't read this, but this is supposed to be like kind of a horror deal. Here's Vince Agnelli, right? The Public Wheel and You. And then, of course, Dr. LaGuardia's books down here. And then I got the Substacks. So nice. if you have a Substack and I'm not tracking it, let me know. I'll add you here. You know,
yeah, this is a big family, guys. If you want to come on the Knights of the Storm, we need you, number one, and we want you to come on, share a story, pick a topic, anything. That's what this is all about. This is about a family of people and a community that we're trying to build of a liberty, peace loving individuals, and that's the basis of this. By the way, Wednesday I have Sally Mayweather. Sal the Agorist from Twitter. Check him out. He's coming on the show Wednesday night in the Tigers Den, 8 p.m. Central Time. Excited about that. We just had Charlie Robinson, and that was excellent.
Very good. Very good interview. All right, Karen, let's give you the floor for a minute.
Oh, I just want to say hi to everybody in the chat, and it was such a thrill to be able to be on with you guys this morning. Thanks so much.
All right, thank
you, Karen. Bless every blessings to everybody. That's about it.
Chat, right. Jay, you want me to shout out? Substack is a free speech platform. I'm sure you would enjoy if you're on Rumble. You can read a lot and write a lot, or read a lot and see a lot of videos on there. So, Guard Goldsmith, the Syrian Girl, Pigeon Verse 2, Levi from Narrow Way, Narrow Gates Ministries. We also had Patrick the Plumber. We had Chris Graves, the Mastodon of Researchers, Geesebusters, Rhonda Tate. I said a Syrian girl. Did I say Risha M? Steven 94. Lots of people in the chat. God bless all of you, and thank you for watching.
All right. Well, I guess we'll get out of here then.
Sounds good.
All right. So take care, all, and we will see you next week. And we'll see you on America Unplugged chat, hopefully here in about an hour. So
see you soon. Care.